Once Srila Prabhupada was walking in Dallas, Texas with his disciples around a lake which was fairly close to the temple. That lake was called White Rock Lake. And the devotees pointed out that on the other side of the lake there was a big house. And within that big house lived a very famous, wealthy Texas oil billionaire whose name was John Getty. And the devotees explained that they wanted to see him and give him a Bhagavad Gita. But the guards would not let them pass the door into the house. They tried to see him. So Prabhupada said, "What would you have said to him if you would have seen him?" And one of the devotees answered, "We would have given him a Bhagavad Gita, we would have told him about our school, told him of the important work that we're doing, and asked his help." And Prabhupada said, "No, if you would have seen him, what you should have said was that you are taking the oil from the earth. It is Krishna's oil, you are stealing it. And after death, you will be punished and you'll have to go to hell because of your stealing from Krishna." And then Prabhupada said, "You have to know how to talk to these kind of people." So, perhaps we are also these kind of people. For a gentleman, a simple instruction is sufficient. For these kind of people who have that type of mentality, exploitive mentality, some other deterrent is required, and that is called fear. Fear of suffering. So in the Bhagavatam, in the third canto in Kapila Muni's teachings, in the fourth canto in Narada Muni's teachings to Pachini Barishad about Paranjana, in the fifth canto in Jadbharat's teachings, and here in Sukadev's explanation to Maharaj Prickett, there is this aspect of the teachings of Krishna consciousness for those kind of people. And also, it naturally comes up here in the Bhagavatam, because the lowest portion of the universe is now going to be described. Which is the lowest planet? Pitri Loka. And above that are the different hells. And above that, if I remember correctly, is Patala Loka. And then it begins the 14 planetary systems, going from down to up. And Pitri Loka is the place of chastisement, or the judgment place, where Yamaraj lives. And it also seems to be the place where the where pious happiness occurs due to the ancestors being maintained there by ceremonies of their descendants on earth. But in any case, in this Pitri Loka, everyone is called to account for all that one has done in this world. And then one's place for some time in the universe is ascertained. So some people, having acted properly, accrued sufficient good karma, they will go upwards and stay for some time on the heavenly planets. And other persons will go to the earthly planets if their karma is mixed. And others will have to suffer on lower planets, and still others will have to experience one of the different types of hells. So the universe is specifically meant to give living entities a place to enjoy and suffer their illusion of being the center of existence. This is the purpose of material existence. This is the purpose of the universe. We can attempt our happiness with our self-centered desires and see what we attain. We'll see if we have to answer to anyone else, or we'll see if we are so independent and so important. So after describing the subterranean heavenly planets and after describing the glories of Lord Ananta, and did you notice those prayers? Who spoke those prayers? There are five of them, I believe, glorifying Ananta Dev. Do you remember them in the chapter that you heard today? Yes? Narada? And do you remember there are five prayers, and that means there's one in the center. And the central position is very important, and it often carries the essence. So which is the central prayer in this one, in the prayers to Lord Anantadeva? Huh? And what is it? Even if he be distressed or degraded, any person who chants the holy name of the Lord, having heard it from a bona fide spiritual master, is immediately purified. Even if he chants the Lord's names jokingly or by chance, he and anyone who hears him are freed from all sin. So this verse remarkably parallels the verse in the previous chapter, in the subterranean, the chapter about the subterranean heavenly planets. What was it? 20. About the potency of the holy name. Because in both cases, and as we shall hear in the pastime of Ajamil, this, in the middle of describing these lower planets and hell, the most difficult circumstance, this very merciful aspect of Krishna is described, his holy names. Because Abhinatvam Namanamane, he and his names are Abhina. They are none different. So Krishna, like the sun, appears when his holy name is chanted. And as the sun destroys the darkness, the holy name destroys the reactions to sinful activities. So in both cases, this is described very appropriately. And in the sixth canto, this is such a central focus, of especially the pastime of Ajamil, of how powerful here in these two verses it's hinted, spoken directly, but it's in the midst of other things. Interestingly, and how many verses are there in the subterranean heavenly planets chapter? Huh? Look. 31. If there was 40, then we could say this is also right in the middle. But since there's only 31, we can't say that. We can't make that claim. But in any case, in the middle of the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam is the sixth canto, and the beginning of the sixth canto is Ajamil. So this is so important. And the final verse spoken in the Bhagavatam also glorifies the Sankirtan of the holy names. So the Bhagavatam is really, as Mahaprabhu was teaching, meant to get us to chant Krishna's holy names and thereby purify our existence, but even more than that, achieve the ultimate result of Krishna Prema. But before that is presented, the remainder of the universe is presented. And then in the beginning of the next canto, Maharaj Prakrit will ask the question, how could someone who's suffering from these, from incredibly in these hellish planets, how can they be relieved from their suffering? And the answer will come, they should chant Krishna's holy names because the holy names are so powerful. So this is the external, the for the purpose of helping the rest of the world. This is why Mahaprabhu has appeared. This is the Yuga Dharma. Kalo what? And also, Kalo nasteva 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 gatiani ata harinama harinama. But there is only one thing when we chant the holy name, and that is that we should avoid offenses. Okay, let's all go to hell. We'll take a tour. There's 28 different hells. We won't mention all of them, but we'll go through almost all of them. The great sage, because the lower planets have been described and the upper planets have been described, and what places one on one of the planets or another? What places one on the upper planets? What places one on the lower planets? Again, Rishabhdev Maharaj has said, whatever desires color our consciousness, we have to be very careful of whatever material desires. Why? Is because based on our consciousness and the material desires within it, we, carried by the subtle body, we are forced to take another birth and enjoy and suffer according to those desires. So this is how one is placed in the material world, in the universe. So Sukadeva Goswami, or Maharaj Prakrit, inquired, my dear sir, why are the living entities put into different material situations? Kindly explain this to me. Because the lower planets have been described, the upper planets have been described. It makes no sense to think that God, the Ishwara, is so arbitrary. And this is your one life chance, and suddenly he places you in one situation, and it has nothing to do with anything you've done in the past. And some person is born into the most terrible situation with no opportunity to be purified, practically speaking, and another person is born so opulently and so piously, and this is your only chance also. Sukadeva Goswami doesn't accept that. What is the cause? It is not the arbitrariness of God, but what is the cause of our being placed into different material situations? Kindly explain this to me. And the great sage Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, in this material world there are three kinds of activities. Those in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance. And because all people are influenced by the modes of material nature, the result of their activities are also divided into three. One who acts in the mode of goodness is religious and happy. And one who acts in passion achieves mixed misery and happiness. And one who acts under the influence of ignorance is always unhappy and lives like an animal. Because of the varying degrees to which the living entities are influenced by the different modes of nature, their destinations are also of different varieties. So when one is perfectly pious and perfectly good, perfectly so, with no more or less no contaminations of ignorance and passion, then one goes to the highest of the highest planets of the material world. And one, if one is 99.9% in the mode of ignorance, one is placed on the lowest of the low planets of the material world, in a universe, in a specific universe. And there are different variations, just like there are primary colors of yellow, red, and blue. And when they're mixed into different varieties, and there are the 3 into 3, and there's 9, and then the 9 are mixed, and there's 81, and those are mixed again, and practically there are unlimited different varieties or shadings of different colors. So similarly, according to the modes of material nature and the combinations and shadings of goodness, passion, ignorance that affect a person, they are placed in the exact appropriate situation in the material world, according to what they desire and according to what they deserve. So therefore, everyone is an individual. Everyone is an individual. And everyone is born into an individual body. And everyone thinks this body is unless there is too much envy in their heart, they think this body is just the best, practically speaking. Then one sees someone who has something we don't like and envy enters. And everyone thinks their country is the best and their food is the best and their this is the best and their that is the best. Because this is the best thing for them. This is what they deserve. So, Sukadeva explains in 3, text 3, just as by executing various pious activities, one achieves different positions in heavenly life, by acting impiously, one achieves different positions in hellish life. Those who are activated by the material mode of ignorance engage in impious activities, and according to the extent of their ignorance, they are placed in different grades of hellish life. Interesting that it is ignorance that places us downward for material suffering even. So what does ignorance mean? It means darkness. Darkness means the absence of light. Light means knowledge always. So there is a covering of one's actual of knowledge by the darkness of ignorance. So what ultimately is the knowledge that's being covered? And therefore, because we know the answer to that is knowledge of our relationship with Krishna, knowledge of the fact that we are not even really meant to be in the material world. We are not our bodies. So therefore, from the topmost planet to the lowest planet in the material world is really considered inauspicious and ignorant. But in the material world, there's another division of the three modes, and ignorance means really acting against one's self-interest. Acting against one's self-interest. And who was just described as actually knowing his self-interest? Prahlad. Who said that? Bali Maharaj said that. So because of ignorance, it's ignorance. And the cure for ignorance, just like the cure for darkness is light, the cure for ignorance is knowledge. So, and then one has to act upon that knowledge. Because of ignorance, every living being has been carried by various desires into thousands of different hellish planets since time immemorial. I shall try to describe them as far as possible. King Pricket inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, "My dear Lord, are the hellish regions outside the universe, within the covering of the universe, or in different places on this planet?" So inside, outside, or on the planet. And the great sage Sukadeva Goswami answered, "All the hellish planets are situated in the intermediate space between the three worlds and the Garbhodak ocean. They lie on the southern side of the universe," so on the bottom of the universe, "beneath Bhumandal and slightly above the water of the Garbhodak ocean. Pitri Loka is also located in this region between the Garbhodak ocean and the lower planetary systems. All the residents of Pitri Loka, headed by Agni Swata, meditate in great samadhi on the Supreme Personality of Godhead and always wish their families well." Purport. As previously explained, below our planetary system are 7 lower planetary systems, the lowest of which is called Patala Loka. Beneath Patalaloka are other planets known as Narakaloka, or the hellish planets. At the bottom of the universe lies the Garbhadak Ocean. Therefore, the hellish planets lie between Patalaloka and the Garbhadak Ocean. The king of the Pitas is Yamaraj, the very powerful son of the sun god. He resides in Pitraloka with his personal assistants, and while abiding by the rules and regulations set down by the Supreme Lord, has his agents, the Yamadutas, bring all the sinful men to him immediately upon their death. After bringing them within his jurisdiction, he properly judges them according to their specific sinful activities and sends them to one of the many hellish planets for suitable punishments. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Yamaraj is not a fictitious or mythological character. He has his own abode, Pitraloka, of which he is the king. Agnostics may not believe in hell, but Sukadeva Goswami affirms the existence of the Naraka planets, which lie between the Garbhadak Ocean and Patalaloka. Yamaraj is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see that the human beings do not violate his rules and regulations. His rules and regulations means the Vedic rules and regulations. For every, if any of you studied any contemporary psychology, there's this one fellow named Skinner, B.F. Skinner, I believe was his name, and he was behavioral conditioning, and before him was Pavlov, the Russian. He was the originator of this, more or less. But actually, Krishna is the originator of it. Because what Pavlov, his famous experiments, was that he would have a bell go off, and at the same time, he would feed a dog. This was one of, he did some very cruel things, actually, in his experimenting on animals. But a bell would go off, and he would feed the dog. A bell would go off, and he would feed the dog. A bell would go off, he would feed the dog. And every time the bell would go off and he would feed the dog, of course, would saliva would come from his mouth. And then he started stopping feeding the dog, but just letting the bell ring. And just by the ringing of the bell would cause saliva, because there would be an association made in the dog's consciousness, dumb as the dog is, between the bell and something pleasurable. So saliva, oh, I'm going to get food, it would come from his mouth. And then he would also punish the dog with a different kind of bell. Some electric shock or something like that. So when that bell would ring, the dog would tremble. And even when the shock wasn't administered, the dog would begin to tremble. So he became conditioned. The dogs became conditioned. And then this B.F. Skinner, he just wanted to show that you can control anyone by just the system of rewards and punishment. Just by rewarding and punishing, you can make pigeons do what you want. You can make anyone do what you want. Human beings, and they apply this in schools too. So this system of you do the right thing, you follow the Vedas properly, you get rewarded. And if you don't follow properly, you get deeply punished and you have to suffer. This is the basic system. And this causes persons to become obedient, extremely obedient to the orders of the Vedas. And ultimately, people becoming submissive to the Vedas and fearing suffering and desiring heavenly happiness, this causes people ultimately to perform bhakti and develop their relationship with Krishna, which Vedas Chasavara Hameva Vidya. This is the purpose of the Vedas. But this keeps people from acting inappropriately and therefore ruining their lives. But yet, there are always people who act against the authority of the Vedas. And for this, people have to suffer. So we've read the beginning of this. Yamaraj is appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to see that human beings do not violate his rules. His means Krishna's rules and regulations, the Vedic rules and regulations, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Kamano yapi bodhavyam bodhavyam chava kamana akamanas cha bodhavyam gahana kamano gati. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One should understand the nature of karma, vikarma, and akarma, and one must act accordingly. Must means if we don't, there is punishment, pain, and no one wants that. This is the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned souls who have come to this material world for sense gratification are allowed to enjoy their senses under certain regulative principles. If they violate these regulations, they are judged and punished by Yamaraj. He brings them to the hellish planets and properly chastises them to bring them back to Krishna consciousness. By the influence of Maya, however, the conditioned souls remain infatuated with the mode of ignorance. Thus, in spite of repeated punishment by Yamaraj, they do not come to their senses, but continue to live within the material condition, committing sinful activities again and again. So this has been shown already in the third canto, where the soul suffers due to his adverse fruit of activities. Adverse fruit of activities means activities averse to the Vedas. And there is a description of how he dies and how he suffers, like anything. It is a horrible description. It is a horrible because it causes terror in the heart, and it also causes great renunciation to enter the heart. I don't want to do these things. I don't want to have to suffer these things. In addition, Paranjana's suffering was described. The subtle body is made to suffer so much, and actually the subtle body, as many of us know, can cause us even more pain than the gross body. And in the next canto, right in the very beginning, this tendency that Prabhupada has described for the sinful souls, because of their tendency to wish to do whatever they want, their tendency to be independent, and the tendency to want to enjoy, despite the suffering of this world, despite even knowledge, the sinful tendency to want to enjoy remains so deep within the heart that even jnana, even knowledge cannot uproot it. There's only one thing that can actually uproot it. And that is niharam eva bhaskaram, as the sun completely dissipates the fog. So similarly, becoming Narayana Parayana, very dear, a dear devotee to Krishna. This is the only thing that uproots the false ego. The only thing. So therefore, bhakti, pure devotional service, is the heart of the cure, the only true cure to the actual problem, which is false ego. Because as long as we are falsely identified with the body, or as the mind, or in some way as the center of existence, therefore that sinful, the tendency rather to commit sin, will always be there. So difficult to control, depending upon the modes of nature that afflict us and affect us. So the only real cure for the material problem is to get at the root of the problem itself. And that is to dissolve the false ego and to become an actual devotee, to become actually devoted, to become a bhakta, a devotee. And the process we know to do that is, as we heard in the last chapter and in the previous chapters, we'll hear again, and in the next chapter, and we'll hear at the end of the Bhagavatam, we'll hear about Krishna's holy names. It's all throughout the Bhagavatam the point is made. So ignorance causes us to act based on false ego again, and the result is so much suffering. But being in the material world, it means suffering. So the cure is to get out. But before we get out, we'll go through for our tour now that will probably inspire us. Because remember, we'll hear about all these things, just like a thief sees his friend being caught, his friend who's also a thief being caught and dragged away and placed in the prison. But still he'll steal again because that tendency is so deep. So similarly, despite the kick of renunciation, that hearing about hellish suffering tends to give one will still sin again unless one becomes an honest person. And honesty means accepting that we are servants. Unavoidably, we are servants. That's who we are, servants of Krishna. That is the position of honesty. And if we just try to restrain ourselves from doing bad things, that's okay. But without the positive engagement, the positive alternative, it becomes a very difficult task. Text 7. Some authorities say there's a total of 21 hellish planets, and some say 28. My dear king, I shall outline all of them according to their names, forms, and symptoms. The names of the different hells are as follows. Tamisra, Andatamisra, Rourava, Maharourava, Kumbhapaka, Kalasutra, Ashipatravan, Sukramuka, Andakupa, Krimibhojan, Sandamsa, Taptasomi, Vajrakantaka Samali, Vaitarani, Piyoda, Prayanarodha, Vishashana. They're not very sweet-sounding names, even if they are pronounced in Sanskrit with a Brooklyn accent. Lalabaka, Bhaksha, Sarameyadhana, Avichi, Ayapana, Narodana. We missed one. Sarema Dana, yes, Avichi Ayapana, Chara Kardama, Rakshogana Bhojana, Sula Prota, Danda Sukha, Avatana Rodana, Paya Vartana, and Suchimukha. All these planets are meant for punishing the living entities. My dear king, so there are 28 mentioned here in text 8 to 36. This chapter has 40 texts, and almost to the end, they simply mention the different varieties of suffering that come to a person who acts in a vikarmic way against the Vedic injunctions. A person who appropriates or takes under his own control another's legitimate wife, children, or money is arrested at the time of death by the fierce Yamadutas, who bind him with the ropes of time and forcibly throw him into the hellish planet known as Tamisra. I wonder if the word English word misery comes from Tamisra, or maybe it comes from Tama. On this very dark planet, And this is for just taking, appropriating, taking under one's possession things that do not belong to oneself, wife, children, or money. On this very dark planet, the sinful man is chastised by the Yamadutas, who beat and rebuke him. He is starved, and he's given no water to drink. Thus, the wrathful assistance of Yamaraj causes him severe suffering, and sometimes he faints from their chastisement. And there's been many people, it's always floating around the peripheries of the devotional circuit, how there are people who have near-death experiences. Someone, even fairly recently, was telling me of someone they know had a near-death experience, and they saw the Yamadutas. It's always going around, these fierce persons with their dogs.
In Bahum.
In where?
Bahum, in internet.
Oh,
Wincom.
Yes,
Wincom.
That, Pamel. The old man was dying.
Yes.
Did they chant or something? Should we get everyone all frightened now and tell all these kind of stories? Yes, very, 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 very terrifying. There's no one who can be brave at these times. You can only take shelter of Krishna, Krishna's holy names. 9. The destination of a person who slyly cheats another man and enjoys his wife and children is the hell known as Andhata Misra. There, his condition is exactly like of a tree being chopped at its roots. Even before reaching Andhata Misra, the sinful living being is subject to various extreme miseries. These afflictions are so severe that he loses his intelligence and sight. It is for this reason that learned sages call this hell Andhata Misra. A person who accepts his body as his self works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death. When he suffers the reaction for his envy of other creatures by being thrown down into the hell called Rourava. Heavy, because this is so common nowadays that people have to do what they have to do to maintain their families. And so many of the activities that are performed by people are sinful. Sinful. And there is no consciousness. There's no consciousness of the pain they're giving to other living entities and the suffering that awaits them. So this is actually envy. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri datuke swadi kalatra disubomi ijadi yatirta buddhi salale nagarjit janeshu abhigeshu sa eva gokara. One who accepts this bodily bag of three elements, bile, mucus, and air, as his self, who has an affinity for an intimate relationship with his wife and children, who considers his land worshipable, who takes bath in the waters of the holy places of pilgrimage, but never takes advantage of those persons who are in actual knowledge. He is no better than an ass or a cow. There are two classes of men absorbed in the material concept of life. Out of ignorance, Prabhupada says, a man in the first class thinks his body to be his self. And therefore he is certainly like an animal, so eva gokara. The person in the second class, however, not only thinks his material body to be his self, but also commits all kinds of sinful activities to maintain his body. He cheats everyone to acquire money for his family and self, and he becomes envious of others without reason. Such a person is thrown into the hell known as Rourava. If one simply considers his body to be his self, as do the animals, he is not very sinful. However, if one needlessly commits sins to maintain his body, he is put into the hell known as Rourava, This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Although animals are certainly in the bodily concept of life, they do not commit any sins to maintain their bodies, mates, or offspring. Therefore, animals do not go to hell. However, when a human being acts enviously and cheats others to maintain his body, he is put into a hellish condition. This was Ajamil's situation, and this is practically everyone's situation in the cities of the world. Or even in the countryside, because now even practically the most sinful industries is the dairy industry. Milk, producing milk, because to get more milk out of the cows, the things they do are terrible. They put all kinds of antibiotics into the food. They don't allow the cow to be with the calf, and they give it artificial nutrients and enzymes to force the cow's body to produce milk, more and more milk, and then when the cow's milk production goes down to a little old age, then they immediately... So terrible, so sinful. No idealism. No kindness. Just simply hard-hearted. And so many of these people, they think that they're religious people. But how could you be religious and still be so sinful? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur once approached one of the, in Nabadweep, approached one of the caste Goswamis who was walking on the other side of the street, who was carrying a big fish the way they carry the fish by the gills. You've seen that? Carry it by the gills after they bought it from the market. And he just said, "You are so hard-hearted." So these people, one time one Christian fellow approached me and I said something about eating meat, and he said, "Well, it says in the Bible that it is not, what Jesus says, it is not that what goes into your mouth that pollutes you, it is what comes out," in other words, the words from your mouth. So I told that to Prabhupada, that that's one of their arguments, and he said, in answer to, "It's not what goes in your mouth that pollutes you." He said, "You mean if you eat stool?" And he didn't say any more. "That's not going to pollute you if you eat stool?" What kind of a terrible philosophy. It's just so hard-hearted. And so hard-hearted that these people don't even see the hardness of their hearts. Very tamaguni, very tamaguni. And therefore cannot see Krishna. And therefore the tendency is to commit more ignorant and more cruel activities. And at the same time think oneself very pious and good. But the result, nevertheless, is this kind of suffering due to the suffering caused to other living entities. In this life, an envious person commits violent acts against many living entities. Therefore, after his death, when he's taken to hell by Yamaraj, these living entities who are hurt by him appear as animals called rurus to inflict very severe pain upon him. Learned scholars call this hell Rodava, not generally seen in this world. The ruru is more envious than a snake. Envious and angry. Punishment in the hell called Maharodava is compulsory for a person who maintains his own body by hurting others. So many industries. In this hell, rural animals known as Kravyada torment him and eat his flesh. For the maintenance of their bodies and the satisfaction of their tongues, cruel persons cook poor animals and birds alive. If you've ever been to Hong Kong, You've seen this. I guess this is the time to talk about all the things you're not supposed to talk about in Vrindavan. But they take these lobsters. You know what a lobster is? Crab. You know, it's an animal who lives in the water, in the ocean, and then they tie them up with a special kind of, would have the big claws, and they tie them up with a special kind of, like grass or something, and then they put them in hot water and cook them alive. They do this. It's terrible, crazy, so cruel. You can escape in this world from doing cruel things like this. Worse than animals. Yeah. Oh, alive. Oh. One of the things I regret in my life is that one time while I was in Hong Kong, I was walking to a ferry and I saw this man, and he had caught a rat in a cage, and he had him in the cage and he had him on top of one of those kerosene burners, and he was just torturing him. And I regret that I just didn't walk over and just like kick it or something like that, or kick him or something like that. Terrible, terrible what people do. Not even animals. But, okay. Terrible. Tormenting other living entities just for the pleasure of giving them pain. And that's a kind of perverse pleasure, to give others pain. Just for the satisfaction of their tongues, they cook poor animals and birds alive. Such persons are condemned even by man-eaters. In their next lives, they are carried by the Yamadutas to the hell known as Kumbhipaka, where they are cooked in boiling oil. The killer of a brahmana is put into the hell known as Kalasutra, which has a circumference of 80,000 miles and which is made entirely of copper. Now, copper has the quality of conducting heat very easily. Heated from below by fire and from above by the scorching sun. So somehow or another the sun gets down there. The copper surface of this planet is extremely hot. Thus the murderer of a brahmana suffers from being burned both internally and externally. Internally he's burning with hunger and thirst, and externally he's burning from the scorching heat of the sun and the fire beneath the copper surface. Therefore, he sometimes lies down, sometimes sits, sometimes stands up, and sometimes runs here and there. He must suffer in this way for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of an animal. If a person deviates from the path of the Vedas in the absence of an emergency, the servants of Yamaraj put him into the hell called Ashipatravana, where they beat him with whips. When he runs hither and thither, fleeing from the extreme pain on all sides, he runs into palm trees with leaves like sharpened swords. Thus injured all over his body and fainting at every step, he cries out, "Oh, what shall I do now? How shall I be saved?" This is how one suffers who deviates from accepting religious principles. And there's this one story related in the Mahabharata about one king who he wanted a son, and he had a friend who was a Brahmin, and the Brahmin performed the sacrifice to give him a son, and then he became afraid that his son would die. He was always in anxiety that his one son would die, So the Brahmin told him about a sacrifice. If he would sacrifice this one son in the fire, he would end up with so many sons. So he performed this. He sacrificed his one son in the fire, and the Brahmin performed the sacrifice. And very soon after that, the Brahmin left this world, died, and then he died after that. And he saw that the Brahmin was burning, suffering like anything in hell for performing this type of a sacrifice. There are so many things, so many improper things, so many ways to suffer these hellish punishments. So this comes from, this particular one comes from deviating from the path of the Vedas. So at this day and age, no one can even follow the Vedas. So Prabhupada explains in the purport the one principle that we should not deviate from. There is actually only one religious principle. Daman hi shakshad bhagavat pranitam. The only religious principle is to follow the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, especially in this age of Kali, everyone is an atheist. People do not even believe in God, what to speak of following his words. The words Nija Veda Pata can also mean one's own set of religious principles. Formerly, there was only one Veda Pat, or set of religious principles. Now there are many. It doesn't matter which set of religious principles one follows. The only injunction is that he must follow them strictly. An atheist or Gnostic is one who does not believe in the Vedas. However, even if one takes up a different system of religion, according to this verse, he must follow the religious principles he has accepted. Whether one is a Hindu, a Mohammedan, or a Christian, he should follow his own religious principles. However, if one concocts his own religious path within his mind, or if one follows no religious principle at all, he is punished in the hell known as Ashi Patravana. In other words, a human being must follow some religious principles. If he does not follow any religious principles, he is no better than an animal. As Kali Yuga advances, people are becoming godless and taking up so-called secularism, or materialism in the name of impersonalism and New Age spiritual life. Because so many of these New Age people, their belief is this world is an illusion, they're impersonalists, or more accurately, Mayavadis. This world is an illusion, and it doesn't make a difference what you do. Long as this is an illusion, you might as well enjoy the illusion, because it's only an illusion anyway. Years ago, I met even one wealthy Indian man, young man, even quite externally pious and everything, smoking a cigarette. I said, "Why are you smoking?" He said, "I'm not smoking. My body's smoking." Anyway, what's a body? It's illusion anyway. So that's not exactly what I was saying, but these people, they really, these New Agey type of people, they really take that as their philosophy. You might as well enjoy the illusion. They call it like a game or a play, and just play. Play well, enjoy this drama that you find yourself into, within. So they do not know the punishment awaiting them in Ashi Patravana, as described in this verse, self-created religious principles. In his next life, a sinful king or government representative who punishes an innocent person who inflicts corporal punishment upon a Brahmin is taken by the Yamadutas to the hell named Sukaramukh, where the most powerful assistants of Yamaraj crush him, exactly as one crushes sugarcane to squeeze out the juice. And if any of you have seen those sugarcane juice squeezers, they have them in Brazil too, probably. It's very heavy. Just thinking about what it would be like to have to go through that, it's terrifying. This is the result of punishing a faultless person. He pitiably cries and faints, just like an innocent man undergoing punishment. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, low-grade living beings like bugs and mosquitoes suck the blood of human beings and other animals. Such insignificant creatures are unaware that their bites are painful to the human being. However, first-class human beings, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, are developed in consciousness, and therefore they know how painful it is to be killed. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sin if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. The Supreme Lord punishes such a man by putting him into the hell known as Andakupa, where he is attacked by the birds and beasts, reptiles, mosquitoes, lice, worms, flies, and any other creatures he tormented during his life. They attack him from all sides, robbing him of the pleasure of sleep. Unable to rest, he constantly wanders about in the darkness. Thus, in Andakupa, his suffering is just like that of a creature in the lower species. So Prabhupada's purport explains that lower animals differing from a human are not subjected to punishment for their activities. They have no consciousness practically. A person is considered no better than a crow if, after receiving some food, he does not divide it amongst guests, old men and children, but simply eats it himself, or if he eats it without performing the five kinds of sacrifice. After death, he's put into the most abominable hell known as Krimi Bhojana. In that hell, in a lake, 100,000 yojanas wide and filled with worms, he becomes a worm in that lake and feeds on the other worms there, who also feed on him, unless he atones for his actions before his death. So the concept of atonement is mentioned here, and Sukadeva will mention that in the next chapter. A sinful man remains in the hellish lake of Krimi Bhojana for as many years as there are yojanas in the width of the lake. At the end of Prabhupada's purport, he says, if we do not perform jagya and distribute prasad to others, our lives are condemned. Only after performing jagya and distributing the prasad to all dependents, children, brahmanas, and old men, should one eat. However, one who cooks only for himself or his family is condemned. Along with everyone he feeds, after death he is put into the hell known as Krimi Bhojana. Robs a brahmana in the absence of an emergency of his gems and gold, he's put into a hell known as Sandamsa. His skin is torn and separated by red-hot iron balls and tongs. In this way, his entire body is cut to pieces. Whipped men and women are whipped, beaten with whips, and made to embrace red-hot iron forms of a man or a woman for improper sexual indulgence, illicit sex. Ripped apart for bestiality. Prabhupada says in the end of his purport to 21, the Krishna consciousness movement forbids illicit sex. From the description of these verses, we can understand what an extremely sinful act illicit sex is. Sometimes people disbelieve these descriptions of hell, but whether one believes or not, everything must be carried out by the laws of nature, which no one can avoid. Responsible persons who neglect their prescribed duties, they go into water surrounded by ferocious aquatic animals, and they eat him, the animals, the fish and other animals eat him, and he doesn't die. He just is tortured by these carnivorous meat-eating animals. And he constantly remembers his sinful activities and suffers terribly in that river, which is full of stool, urine, pus, blood, hair, nails, bone, marrow, flesh, and fat. So many terrible terrible, terrible, terrible. People who take their pet dogs and mules and asses into the forest to hunt and kill animals. So something similar, like the famous fox hunting. And I remember Tolstoy writes about bear hunts using dogs. Did you ever read that? Very, very heavy. Using dogs to hunt the animals, and the animals have no really any chance or anything like that. And they are, and these people who do that, Yamaraj make him their target. This assistance of Yamaraj, and pierce him with arrows. A person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige is put into the hell called Vishana after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. Some persons are professional plunderers who set fire to others' house or administer poison to them. Also members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Sarameyadana. On that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. Just eaten alive by these heavy dogs. A person who in this life bears false witness or lies while transacting business or giving charity is severely punished after death by the agents of Yamaraj. Such a sinful man is taken to the top of a mountain 800 miles high and thrown headfirst into the hell known as Avijjimat. This hell has no shelter and is made of strong stones resembling the waves of water. There is no water there, however, and thus it is called waterless, Avijjimat. Although the sinful man is repeatedly thrown from the mountain and his body broken into tiny pieces, he still does not die, but continuously suffers chastisement. Any Brahmin or Brahmin's wife who drinks liquor is taken by the agents of Yamaraj to the hell known as Ayapana. This hell also awaits any Kshatriya, Vaishya, or person under any vow who in illusion drinks Somarasa. In Ayapana, the agents of Yamaraj stand on their chests and pour hot melted iron into their mouths. A low-born, abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking, I am great, and who thus fails to show proper respect to one more elevated than he by birth, austerity, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order, is like a dead man even in this lifetime. And after death, he is thrown headfirst into the hell known as Charakadhama, Kardama. There he must suffer great, great tribulation at the hands of the agents of Yamaraj. In this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest. And after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell known as Sulaprota, where their bodies are pierced with sharp needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds such as vultures and herons come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. All the putting, the catching of fish with hooks. Just imagine what it's like. You're thinking of foolish fish, just hungry, trying to get something to eat, and he bites it, and then a hook being caught in his mouth, and they reel him in by a hook in the mouth. Imagine what it would be like to be reeled in by a hook in your mouth because you are hungry. So what kind of suffering? There's so many terrible sufferings for so many horrible, cruel acts. And people act enviously, angry, and giving pain to living entities, eaten by serpents. One gives imprisonment to others, putting them in caves, get imprisoned, and choked by poisonous fumes. A householder receives guests or visitors with cruel glances, as if to burn them to ashes, is put into the hell called Paryavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. One who in this world or in this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks, I'm so rich, who can equal me? His vision is twisted, and he's always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to attain actual happiness. He does not know what it is to be free from anxiety because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth, and protect it. He is put into the hell called Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamaraj punish him by stitching thread through his entire body like weavers manufacturing cloth. Prabhupada in his purport says that we should use our money to spread Krishna consciousness because it's ultimately Krishna's money. My dear King Parikit, in the province of Yamaraj there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned, and also those I have not mentioned, must all enter these various planets according to the degree of their impiety. Those who are pious, however, enter other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods. Nevertheless, both the pious and the impious are again brought to earth after the results of their pious or impious acts are exhausted. So this is the descriptions of hell. And the descriptions of heaven are much more pleasant to the ear. But we've been in hell and we've been in heaven again and again and again. And we come to the Bhumandala earthly planet to again act freely to some degree, exercising our freedom to have an opportunity to actually get out of this vicious cycle of birth and death, samsara dhava nalalila loka. Prabhupada's purport to 37. This corresponds to the beginning of Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, tata dehantara prapti. Within this material world, one is simply meant to change from one body to another in different planetary systems. Urdvam gacchanti sattvasta. Those in the mode of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. Ado gacchanti tamasa. Similarly, those two engrossed in ignorance enter the hellish planetary systems. Both of them, however, are subjected to the repetition of birth and death. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that even one who is very pious returns to earth after his enjoyment in the higher planetary systems is over. Chine punye martyalokam vashanti. Therefore, going from one planet to another does not solve the problem of life. The problem of life will only be solved when we no longer have to accept the material body. This can be possible if one simply becomes Krishna conscious. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam yo veti tatvata takvadeham puna janma naiti mam eti so arjana. What a relief just to say a Bhagavad Gita verse. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the perfection of life and the real solution to life's problems. We should not be eager to go to the higher heavenly planetary systems, nor should we act in such a way that we will have to go to the hellish planets. The complete purpose of the material world will be fulfilled. So this is the complete purpose of this explanation of the universal planetary systems. The complete purpose of the material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identities and go back home, back to Godhead. The very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvadamam pratyajam mamekam sharanam braja. One should be neither pious nor impious. One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. What does it mean to surrender? To place Krishna in the center. Everything done under the sway of false ego is either pious or impious or a mixture. And these things keep us within the material world. So let us become surrendered devotees to Krishna, trying to please him with great love. So this surrendering process is also very easy, Prabhupada says. Even a child can perform it. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should become Krishna's devotee, worship him, and offer obeisances to him. Thus one should engage all the activities of his life in the service of Lord Krishna. So even a child can do it. And in the seventh canto, that's just what we're going to see. We're going to see Prahlad Maharaj surrender to Krishna and be completely free from anxiety by the process of this, Krishna Smaranam, always remembering Krishna with great devotion and affection. Text 38. In the beginning, the second and third cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, I've already described how one can progress on the path of liberation. In the Puranas, the vast universal existence, which is like an egg divided into 14 parts, is described. This vast form is considered the external body of the Lord. So here is again the process of relating what we've just heard, the universe, to the external body of the Lord. It is generally called the Varata Rupa. If one reads the description of this external form of the Lord with great faith, or if one hears about it, or explains it to others to propagate Bhagavad Dharma or Krishna consciousness, his faith and devotion in spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, will gradually increase. Although developing this Krishna consciousness is very difficult, by this process one can purify himself and gradually come to an awareness of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Yes. Paramatmano grayam api shraddha bhakti vishuddha buddhiya veda. Agrayam, it's difficult to understand. Api, although, shraddha by faith, bhakti and devotion, vishuddha, purified, buddhi, intelligent, veda, one can understand. So it's very difficult if one is committing sinful activities to understand. So one must give up sinful activities. And that comes by hearing, by association with devotees. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement is pushing forward the publication of Srimad Bhagavatam as explained especially for the understanding of modern civilized man, to awaken him to his original consciousness. Without this consciousness, one melts into complete darkness. Whether one goes to the upper planetary systems or the hellish planetary systems, he simply wastes his time. Therefore, one should hear of the universal position of the Virata form of the Lord from, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that will help save himself from material conditioned life and gradually elevate him to the path of liberation so that he can go back home, back to Godhead. One who is interested in liberation, this is text 39, who accepts the path of liberation and is not attracted to the path of conditioned life is called yati, or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virata Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, after hearing of both forms. Thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Thus his life becomes successful. Prabhupada explains at the end of his purport to 39, one who desires liberation from all such bondage should join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and thus take advantage of the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees and also explain it to propagate Krishna consciousness. So this is very much the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to propagate, to hear Bhagavatam and to propagate Bhagavatam. And of course the holy names as well. And then finally, the final verse in this chapter and the canto, text 40. My dear king, I have now described for you this planet Earth, other planetary systems, and their lands, varshas, rivers, and mountains. I've also described the sky, the oceans, the lower planetary system, the directions, the hellish planetary systems, and the stars. These constitute the Virata Rupa, the gigantic material form of the Lord on which all living entities repose. Thus I've explained the wonderful expanse of the external body of the Lord. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 26th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Hellish Planets, completed in the Honolulu Temple of the Panchatattva, June 5th, 1975. So, how long ago?
30 years ago,
Prabhupada completed this. Thank you. Questions, comments? Yeah, and also just to see everything in relationship with Krishna means that you'll see Krishna and you think that you're not supreme. You'll see something higher than you, philosophized Vishnu. So it's a step, a stage. So therefore it's meant for Krishna.
Yeah. So everything is actually
Krishna's. Krishna's mountains. Krishna. If one does, one becomes a thief and is liable to punishment. First one goes to Yamaraj, it seems.
Yamaraj, and then
not all their debts. Something, if you don't have a material body, if you've paid all your debts, so obviously something remains that will award you your next body on earth. In previous ages, it was less like that than it is now. The ignorance is deeper now. And lack of knowledge, more independence, lack of religiousness, lack of ethics is increasing. There's innocent people, but people are very ignorant nowadays.
So if one does something very good, that should lead him to higher planets, but at the same time, the same life, he did many abominable acts, so he should go through different stages.
But that's for Krishna to work out, Yamaraj and Krishna.
Yeah.
So you don't have that one, everyone should do their own service. So how to balance things, which to give first, even that King Riga was asked, which do you want first, the result of your piety, you have so much piety, or the result of your impiety? So he somehow chose the result of his impiety to get first. And many people, their lives are full of, and that's what life on earth means. It means mixed modes, happiness and suffering both. It means that's a symptom of passion. Why? Why is Pitriloka so near? It's near, what's also near the Gopadak Ocean. Everyone, you start at the bottom, and then depending upon how bad or good you've been, you go up a certain amount. But this is how Krishna has organized it. What can I say? Huh? But it's a judgment place also. Huh? Yes. Huh? Safe transportation costs. Specialty of India. Everything is connected with. Yeah? Ahovalam? You went there? Loudly though.
When we are leaving our body, rectify us. How does that
do you? Do you remember? Yeah, you carry some impression. But were you ever in a some kind of a heavy physical accident? Car accident or something? Huh?
Yeah, I was in a car accident.
Remember that just for 1 second.
Yeah, very well.
Huh? But just imagine if, since we've taken so many births, if all the heavy incidences that we went through in hundreds and hundreds and thousands of births were in our consciousness all the time, we couldn't exist, practically speaking. And what to speak of love for Krishna, we couldn't exist. But there's some impression. Because we see in this life, we have aversions for things. We don't, just naturally, we don't want to go near that. And some things we're attracted to. Even though we don't know exactly why. But this is carrying impressions from previous lives. Who has only pious? On earth? No, didn't it say, it talks, Yes, that's what it didn't. There was a purport that discussed that. Didn't it say it directly in that purport? Huh? But look and see what it says. Huh? But he's the one who's going to judge. So first you have to. I thought it said both. I thought it directly said it though. But what did King Nitinriga go there to see Yamaraj? Could you look, Ali? See if King Nriga, in the 10th canto, if he went, if Yamaraj said, what do you want first? The results of your pious or impious? Huh?
There's no one else to judge.
That's what it would seem. Any other questions? Yes. There are other people there. There are forefathers. Not forefathers, but there are some pious people go there, yeah. But it's very, very difficult to maintain that, to have the piety to maintain that, so therefore they need the piety given by their children performing the different ceremonies, pindas. Do you find it? Yeah, so there's, and he was so pious. Okay, no, late. Over. Congratulations, you finished the 5th canto. Maybe if Prabhupada said that's his summer home, maybe it was in that season. It's hard to say how exactly it works. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.